The International Bible Lesson Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series for Sunday, May 13, 2018, is from the Book of Leviticus, Chapter 2, Verse 14, and Chapter 23, Verses 9 through 22. Some will only study Leviticus, Chapter 2, Verse 14, and Chapter 23, Verses 9 through 14, and verse 22. Hear now the word of the Lord from the New International Version, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 14, and Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 22. If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain roasted in fire. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb, a year old, without defect. Together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour, mixed with olive oil, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of a quarter of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread, or roasted, or new grain, until the very day you bring this offering to your Lord. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord, your God. May the Lord bless this reading of His Holy Word. International Bible Lessons Commentary, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 14, and chapter 23, verses 9 through 22. Some will only study Leviticus chapter 2, verse 14, and chapter 23, verses 9 through 14, and verse 22. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lesson Commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lessons Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Leviticus 2:14. If you bring a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain roasted in fire. The Lord gave instructions for building a proper tent of meeting and rules for the priests in conducting worship. And the Lord also wanted the people to participate in providing for the tabernacle's construction and in worshiping the Lord. After they entered the promised land, and when they harvested their grain, the barley first and 7 weeks later the wheat, on Pentecost, they were to worship the Lord by taking the first fruits to the Lord as an offering of thanksgiving. The land belonged to the Lord, and He had given them possession of the land to meet their needs and fulfill His promise to Abraham. The first fruits offering was an expression of appreciation and thanksgiving to the Lord for meeting their needs, as well as a demonstration of trust in the Lord, that He would continue to meet all their needs. The Israelites offered flour and bread in various offerings and ways. Crushed heads could become flour, suitable for bread, and roasted grain could be made into bread from proper roasting over a fire. Leviticus 23:9. The Lord said to Moses, "The Lord did not speak to the people directly, but through Moses as their leader and prophet. The Lord wanted Moses to teach them how to worship and prepare them to worship the Lord in the promised land." Leviticus 23:10. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, "When you enter the land I am going to give you, and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest." An omer, King James Version, or sheaf, is a bundle of grain stalks laid lengthwise and tied together after reaping. Compared to an entire crop, a sheaf was a small amount to offer the Lord. But it represented the fact that all they harvested had been made possible by the Lord, who met all their needs. The first grain was from their first day of harvest and would have been the most fresh and desirable grain to give to the Lord. The Lord deserves the best we have to give, and we have received from the Lord all we have to give. Priests resided in every town and tribe throughout the promised land to receive the offerings of first fruits. Leviticus 23:11. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. The priest would wave, or ceremonially present, the sheaf before the Lord for God's people. Following these instructions would make their offering acceptable. They were not to just wave the sheaf themselves in some perfunctory way in the field to get it over with. They were to make the effort to formally go to a priest and express before God and others their thankfulness to the Lord with grateful hearts. They were to do this the day after the Sabbath, on a Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday, and in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Paul spoke of Jesus' resurrection in the context of first fruits. Quote, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Unquote. Jesus often spoke of our work as evangelists, teachers, and believers as harvest work. In Luke 10:2, we read, quote, "Jesus told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Unquote. As a result of teaching the truth in harvest work, the first new Christians in a new church are sometimes called first fruits. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote, quote, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Unquote. Leviticus 23:12. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb a year old without defect. In addition to offering the sheaf, they were to sacrifice a lamb as a burnt offering. The lamb was to be perfect, rather than a worthless castaway no one would want. The sacrifice of the lamb would point to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus as the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, verse 36, we read, "When John saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" When God the Father sent His Son into the world to sacrifice His life for us, God sent the very best He had, the very best He had to give, to die in our behalf. Leviticus 23:13. Together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of a quarter of a hin of wine. In addition, they were to offer oil from their olive trees and wine from their grapes. A hin was a measurement perhaps of Egyptian origin, since the Lord gave these instructions to Moses after they left Egypt before reaching the Promised Land. The people were to give what the Lord required and recognize the fact that all their blessings and provisions came from the Lord. Once again, the Lord emphasized that they were to give the finest flour. If they gave willingly and not under compulsion, their offerings would be a pleasing aroma to the Lord, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Leviticus 23:14. You must not eat any bread, or roasted, or new grain, until the very day you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. The people were to bring their first fruits offerings to the Lord before they ever took a bite for themselves. They were not to bring the Lord their leftovers, or only after they made sure their personal needs were met. Their offerings involved faith and trust in the Lord. Leviticus 23:15. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. The feasts and festivals of the Law of Moses reflect a primarily agricultural society. For this reason, by the time of Jesus the Messiah, travelers from far away would buy the sacrifices they needed when they arrived in Jerusalem, which led to abuses that influenced Jesus to cleanse the temple. See John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. The Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts 7 days and falls immediately after Passover. The first fruits from the barley harvest were presented the day after Passover. The first fruits from the wheat harvest were offered 7 full weeks later during the Feast of Weeks, called Pentecost in the New Testament. Depending on the location and other factors, harvesting could begin before or after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and end before or after the Feast of Weeks. As mentioned above, the sheaf of the wave offering was the first grain to be reaped from a harvest, which was also considered first fruits. The wave offering reminded the Israelites of the fact that God's grace and blessing were the cause of their land being productive. By waving a sheaf of grain, they thanked God for their harvest, and the offering was made the day after the Sabbath, the day Jesus rose from the dead. The first fruits of the barley was offered, then 7 full weeks later, the first fruits of the wheat was offered. Leviticus 23:16. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. Using a lunar calendar, God commanded the Israelites to count off 50 days from Passover and unleavened bread to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, 7 full weeks plus a Sabbath. 7 times 7 plus 1 equals 50. The number 7 represents a perfect number. In later Judaism, the Feast of Weeks celebrated the giving of the law by God to Moses after the Exodus. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his apostles and followers, about 120 people, which led to the salvation of 3,000 people in one day, the day of Pentecost. See Acts chapter 2. Leviticus 23:17. From wherever you are, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. The Feast of Weeks was to be celebrated in Jerusalem. For that reason, many Jews from many nations were present and learned of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus, and many of these returned home as believers in Jesus the Messiah. See Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Notice, at this feast, they did not wave a sheaf of grain. Instead, they waved before the Lord 2 loaves of baked bread that must contain yeast, which made certain new yeast was used, because their old yeast would have been removed from their homes during the Passover celebration and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the Bible, yeast does not always mean evil or sin. The Lord would never require an offering that included sin or evil. Yeast makes bread rise and pervades the entire loaf, making the delicious, satisfying bread. When the Holy Spirit came upon and into Jesus' followers, he cleansed them and filled them with the love, power, and guiding presence of the Lord Jesus. And through their testimony, the church began to grow and spread throughout the world, even to this day. Leviticus 23:18. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. On the Feast of Weeks, also called the Feast of the Harvest, the first things they sacrificed were to the Lord, in thanksgiving for a bountiful harvest that the Lord had given them. They did not credit themselves or their hard work. They credited the true God for their many blessings. With thanksgiving, they offered to the Lord animals that provided food and clothing and bore their burdens. They also offered a portion of their crops. These types of offerings indicated, symbolically, that they were giving all they had and all they were in consecration to the true God. Later, prophets condemned the fact that some rebellious Israelites and Jews celebrated this feast and also celebrated and sacrificed to the pagan fertility gods, even sacrificing their own children to these idols. In Jeremiah 32:35, we read, quote, "They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination, causing Judah to sin." Leviticus 23:19. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. The male goat for a sin offering acknowledged the fact that they were unworthy to receive God's blessings, and they had not earned a good harvest by their good behavior and labors. God blessed them because of His love and grace. Later, as punishment for their sins, God brought a drought and pestilence upon the land and crops in order to lead them to repentance. The fellowship or peace offering was for the family and their friends to eat and enjoy at the one-day celebration and indicated the celebrants had received the blessing, peace, and fellowship with God that accompanied their sacrifices. Leviticus 23:20. The priest is to wave the two lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. The priests received their food and sustenance from the offerings of the people. For this reason, some of the festivals, including this one, required the celebrant to come to Jerusalem. People brought bread and meat for the priests and made offerings at the temple. The wave offering indicated that the animal and bread were presented first to the Lord with thanksgiving and were not wholly burnt. The offering was food for the priests and their families to eat at the festival. Everything was consecrated to the Lord. Leviticus 23:21. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. On this festive day, the Jews assembled for sacred purposes instead of pagan purposes and rituals that involved sin and rebellion against God. They were to do no work, but essentially to enjoy a time of rest after their busy harvest season concluded. About 50 days after their harvest season had begun, God ordained or commanded this sacrificial feast for their benefit, to remind them from whom all blessings flow. In addition, they were to be reminded to care for the poor in their midst. The festival provided the priests with an opportunity to teach about God, God's laws, and their sacred history. Leviticus 23:22. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. The Apostle Paul wrote that a necessary condition for eating was being willing to work, and this provision was made possible from this command, while also providing a charity for the needy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, we read, quote, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." The poor were provided a way of working to support themselves and their families. In the book of Ruth, Ruth fed herself and her mother-in-law from this provision in the law. Ruth was a foreigner, a Moabite, and her widowed mother-in-law was a poor Israelite. Boaz arranged for Ruth to be given more than she could glean in that day, which set an example for all who had farms to find additional ways to care for the needy from the material blessings that God had given them. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. When they harvested, what kind of grain were the Israelites to offer? 2. When were the Israelites to begin making offerings of barley and wheat? 3. Where did they take their sheaf offering? 4. What was done with the sheaf of first fruits? 5. When could the Israelites eat the grain they harvested? Bonus questions. 1. What major feast followed the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? When did it occur? What did the Christians name this feast in the book of Acts? 2. What could be used for wave offerings according to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 22? 3. What kind of bread was used for Passover? What kind of bread was used for the feast in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 22? 4. How might you compare the work of yeast in bread and the work of the Holy Spirit in believers? 5. How were the poor and foreigners in the land to be cared for by farmers? International Bible Lesson, Uniform Sunday School Lesson Series, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Putting God First and Giving Your Best, May 13, 2018. Until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. Leviticus 23:14. Before God's people entered the Promised Land, the Lord told them how to build a tent of meeting for worship and how to grow their crops and make their offerings once they began to cultivate the land and raise their animals. They would plant and harvest barley first, and 7 weeks later, they would harvest the wheat. The Lord also commanded them to give an offering of the first fruits. In Leviticus 23:10, we read, quote, "Bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest," unquote. Furthermore, until they first presented the first and best of their barley or wheat to the Lord, with thanksgiving for his blessings, they were not to eat any of their harvest. Along with their first fruit offering, the Lord commanded them to sacrifice a lamb without defect that was 1 year old. Later, the New Testament applied the concept of first fruits to the coming of Jesus the Messiah. The sacrifice of the perfect lamb pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. God offered the very best he had to give when Jesus died for sinners. Paul described Jesus' resurrection as a first fruits. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, we read, quote, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In James chapter 1, verse 18, we read that new Christians in the church are first fruits. Quote, "God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Begin or close your class by reading this short weekly International Bible Lesson. Copyright 2018 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.